Welcome to the Wine Vault and Merry Christmas. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott revisit times of yore as they drink the Ramy Claret from Napa Valley. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here. The holidays are upon us, and hopefully, we're all healthy.
Scott.
Not wealthy, and we certainly not wise.
Scott has referred to my, I've been sick for a month. This is our, we tried to record something, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
That didn't work out too well. So basically, we've been off for almost a month now, and let's see, I started off with hand, foot, and mouth for a week. That was Thanksgiving. Then I got bronchitis, something, the next, very next week. Then finished that up with a nice old, good old case of COVID, and that was last weekend.
Bordering on the precipice of death.
How you get COVID when you're not able to go anywhere because you're already sick, I don't really know.
You found a way.
I found a way.
Mail order.
Mail order COVID comes in a can. You're like, hello, COVID. Pfft, right in your face.
Maggie did it to you.
Oh, like, my God.
That got bad. Make him sick. Order that, online.
Yeah. That was a lot of illness. And I'm still not 110%, but I'm the best I've been. So how's that sound?
Still a little scratchy.
Not really scratchy. More just a little phlegm.
A little sounding scratchy.
Yes, but I feel stronger. I do feel stronger.
Be a strong man.
Strong boy.
Push-ups and sit-ups.
That's right.
Clean and jerk.
That's right. Well, on tonight's show, yes, this is our Christmas celebration, where we celebrate, obviously, Christmas. And we look forward to the next season of Wine Vault. Naturally, we'll have one more episode this year, and that will be our awards episode, which we always have. And one thing we are going to talk about tonight are the wines that are eligible for Wine of the Year. Just so you understand, I mentally made some parameters for Wine of the Year this year. The parameters are, they have to be a wine that theoretically were purchasable in a store this year. Theoretically. It doesn't mean that you could get them. It just means that they were for sale this year. So not old vintage stuff, right? Yeah. And that's about the only rule.
It takes a lot of the fun out. It takes a lot of the special wines out of the category.
No, it doesn't.
So now I can whine about the special wines taken out of the category.
No, it doesn't. Because there are still several. And we'll do this a little bit later. But there are actually seven wines that really qualify for that. That's out of 52 episodes. That means the rest of the stuff was not any good. So, yeah.
Well, it doesn't mean not any good. We did do our share of dogs this year.
We did. We did. Yes. Chateau Sabalou or whatever it was. Sabu. Right. Well, we're not supposed to say Sabu. Actually, what was the, we just released the board last weekend. Actually, it would be the day we're recording this. We released the Saint Steffi.
Yeah.
That was nice. That was kind of sequentially off, but still.
Yeah.
We have some really good stuff, though, still in the can that you're going to hear trickle out through January. But once again, we're going to get back in the full swing here to recording and getting some good stuff because we have a lot of wines in the queue.
Yes, we do.
There's a lot of things to drink.
We've been shopping.
Well, it's exciting because we're going to be, well, we always do things a little bit off kilter here and there. But really, we've got some great stuff. A little South African. Some stuff from Lebanon. Some more tannins from Uruguay. Different things like that mixed in with the Californian stuff. Mixed in with the French with, because we have several good French wines and Bordeaux's out there that we've got. We've got, I don't know, half a dozen, I think, Bordeaux's that should be fun to drink that we're going to be bringing in. We have some better Californian stuff we're going to touch, too. So
around the world in 80 episodes of the Wine Vault.
Just about. Well, on tonight's show, we have a classic wine. One from the vault. Not a current vintage. Although you can buy this wine. It's out there. It's from one of our preferred, we'll call it preferred, Napa Valley producers.
We talk about them all the time.
Yeah, we like their Cabernets. We love their Syrah. And we love this wine. And this is by Ramey. And this is their Claret. Their Claret, now you've heard the term Claret probably before. That's a classic British term to refer to Bordeaux reds. Some people considered it almost an insult. I think people in Bordeaux consider it an insult.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty certain they don't care for this term.
No, they don't. California, for a while, I don't know if it's still the case because you see the term Claret used less and less as well now. People are just making up their own names. But for a while, there was a Meritage or Claret Society.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's still around, but one of the better ones was Newton did a Newton Claret. Was it Newton? Ooh. Yeah. But it was like $20. It was great.
Wow.
But there still are a lot of ones that really would quasi-classify as a Claret. The Hands of Time, Terrasaur, all these things that we've had. The Echelon, whatever it was, Moretta's Well, that although that had Petit Sirah on it. But this one, since there are no technical rules, even though they should be Bordeaux Reds, but they can stray from that. This one is 52% Cabernet, 26% Merlot, 12% Malbec, and the rest is Syrah and Petit Verdot. You know, in California, you do see Syrah sometimes meted in there. But we can say, because we just had the Syrah last year, the 2022, we had their Syrah at Vincenzo's.
Vincenzo's.
That was by far and away the highlight times 10 of that dinner, you know?
Yeah.
Because that was a wondrous one.
Yeah.
But
Newton still makes their Claret.
Do they?
Yeah. $25.
Wow.
The Triangle Wine Company.
I've not seen it in years. It was a good value.
$25.
Maybe it's in other markets. We just don't see it here.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Thank you, because is it North Coast?
Napa. This is Newton's Claret Napa Valley.
Well, this is the thing about the Ramey. This is the 16 vintage. This is the last vintage that it was Napa. After that, it went to North Coast. It's getting higher reviews now than it did back in the 16, but still, it loses a little bit of that kind of mystique for me. But actually, the 17, the 18 really had good reviews, but I'm not sure why they switched to that. It must just have been availability of grapes.
Could have been fire?
It probably was keeping the cost down, and they probably upped the production of their baseline Cabernet, which is around $60. That would be my guess. These other grapes from Napa, they were good enough, maybe, to go into their other blends, and they didn't want to utilize them in this.
Right.
So that's probably what it was. And I can say their Cabernet is top of the mark. For anything under $75, it's really where you want to start.
You know? Hard to go wrong. Hard to go wrong. Yeah. There's other makers
it, Hull,
like in that range.
Yeah.
Hull's creeping out of that range.
I guess. Yeah, it's almost 70, isn't it? Yeah.
It's creeping out of the range.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
But everything's going up in price. So, they are. You know, what? Once you could say, for $50, for $75.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
this is 40. So this is in the mid 40s, 44, 45, somewhere around 50. Remember Nyers, Left Bank Red.
Yes.
And that's a competitor to this. Left Bank Red is delicious. So, and it would clarify as or classify as a Claret, possibly, if they wanted to go that range. So,
it's semantics, it's nomenclature, mm-hmm. It's in the spirit
it
of
is.
A Claret.
It is. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Wilfred Wrong.
I want to know. I want you to know something, Scott.
What would you like me to know?
Wilfred? I got you a Christmas gift.
Did you?
I did. Do you want to open it right now?
Well, is it covered in filth?
No, it's actually a gift. Let me get it for you.
This is nerve-wracking. Wilfred. Oh, My, it's a...
It's in a pink and white bag.
Sparkly.
And it's got blue tissue paper because it matches. I'm colorblind, folks. Open it, Scott. I want you to talk about it. It's a real gift, folks. Yeah, it's
It's in purple.
It's purple. You like purple. It's, you like padded. You like that Grimace color. It's Grimace purple.
I think it's a cloth material.
It is. It's cloth. You can use it for what you're thinking. Yeah,
some
if you want.
Some of the sparkles from the bag have gotten onto the material.
That only makes it classy. You're gonna want to use this a lot. Wear it, possibly.
It's very purple.
It is.
It is. From the port company, it's a bottle of port.
It is not. Yes. Oh, it's a, yes.
It's a squeeze bottle of mayonnaise.
Yes.
The t-shirt says, I wonder if mayonnaise thinks about me.
That's
too.
Right, Scott. I got that for you. I thought
it's
you
It's just fantastic.
I know. Well, Rob.
Wait, why is this sticky?
Because I jizzed all over it. Jesus, I ordered that like a month and a half ago. It's been here. Just waiting
for
you.
And you just couldn't keep your...
You can wear that.
Person.
I hope to see you wear that.
I'll put it on right now.
A Christmas Day, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
It's amazing what you can buy on Amazon. It's fantastic.
The poor little mayonnaise bottle. He looks like he's not quite right.
The Triple B looked at me, I guess. And Rob the wine guy, too, and wondered what was wrong with us. She's like, I get the joke. I don't want to hear the joke. You're sick and disturbed. I went, yes. Yes, it is. Yes. By the way, folks, Duke's Mayonnaise. Fantastic product. Well known across the world. Scott, did you see the mayonnaise bowl? The Duke's Mayonnaise bowl.
I did notice that game. It was a game of note.
Yes.
Wasn't that the game with the horrible weather?
I don't know. All I know is there was a gentleman seated in a chair, and two people were dumping a white substance all over his head, and he was loving it. He had his head up in the air. He was just loving that stuff.
They didn't go to you for that particular position?
Well, you know, I was busy, you know, but still, I looked at that and went, you know, Duke's Mayonnaise, if you want to avoid comments about different things, like bukkake, for instance, don't do that. I mean, seriously, my head exploded. Yeah, you understand what I meant by that. When I saw that, I was like, oh my God. And he's all excited. It's like, nobody gets excited. First of all, mayonnaise is not that viscous. And that was a little
Well, it shouldn't be.
It was. It's like, let's mix the mayonnaise with water and pour it over his head because that's what you want to celebrate. It isn't.
No,
Duke's mayonnaise is best on a sandwich. On turkey, maybe. Oh, Christmas. Ooh. Roasted turkey. Oh, with some Duke's mayonnaise on that sandwich. Delicious.
Delicious.
Poured over that poor man's head. Not delicious. No. So, Duke's mayonnaise.
I'm shaking my head, folks.
The best mayonnaise to eat.
Yes. So, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back Duke's here mayonnaise. On the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the 2016 Rainy Claret. As we said, 52% Cabernet, 26% Merlot, 12% Malbec, and then the rest in Syrah and Petit Verdot. This is on oak, both American and French, for 13 months. Am I looking at that right? No.
That's an unusual period of time.
Well, you know. I'm sorry. 12 months. 13% new. So it's on French, yes.
All those numbers run together for you. It's tough.
Yeah. And they stir the lees to increase the tannin on the wine. So isn't that exciting for you?
That's very exciting for me. Mm-hmm. Very exciting for the Lees.
Could be. There are some reviews. First, Robert Parker. Actually, let's start from the bottom up.
Yes, that's right. I'm the bottom up. I'm the bottom.
Oh, my God.
That is Wilfred. Again, I did review this wine. I gave it 90 of my points, and I wrote, oh, no.
That's not many of your points, Wilfred.
I know. I don't have... Well, I didn't write much, so... Commentary. The 16 Rémy Claret is refined and stylish. Then, tasty notes. That's all I had.
That's it. That's all you
I didn't have much to say. No.
You didn't make many comments.
No, this wine exhibits fresh and lively nuances. Period. Pair its perky red fruit aromas and flavors with lighter meat dishes. Period.
He's so good.
Wilfred, you really need to take your career as a wine reviewer a little more serious.
Perky maybe, red fruits.
Maybe consider using more of the words.
I don't think he has many.
Well, then there's plenty of words to talk about Duke Mayonnaise.
I don't have to. It doesn't take words. I'm more of a man of action there.
Oh, Jesus.
Screw that top. Oh, let it slide in.
Let it slide, let it slide, let it slide.
I'm talking about my... Never mind.
Anyway, Jeb Dunnick.
Oh.
90 of his points.
Is really?
Yes. The 16 Claret is pretty. Elegant blend of 52% blah, 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 blah. The medium-bodied, silky, nicely textured red offers notes of ripe black cherries, currants, and associated tobacco and herbal notes. It's textured and balanced. Drink it over the coming decade.
Hmm.
Then Parker, 91. And they wrote, medium, deep, ruby purple. It offers aromas of bay leaf, sagebrush, cardamom, anise, clove, and mint chocolate. Underbrush, berries, and black currants. It's medium to full-bodied, rounded, and easygoing in the mouth.
So am I, by the way.
Oh, with Lord. Gentle, grainy tannins and great freshness to lift the finish. It would be all too easy to glug a bottle of this luncheon Cabernet, as Dave Rémy calls it.
Luncheon glug, first of all, to glug a bottle.
Glug a bottle.
Where am I last heard... food, wine, or spirits to glug.
Mm.
Like in describing use of olive oil, excessive use of olive oil to glug the olive oil on a dish.
Mm-hmm.
Can't think of another application of the word glug.
No.
When it comes to food, wine, and spirits.
It's never appropriate. No.
Well, but I'm curious, the maker of this calls it a luncheon Cabernet?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Not sure how to take that.
I think he suggests it's not grand enough for dinner.
Or he's encouraging, you know, day drinking.
That's never a problem.
I mean, you know, maybe he's just onto something.
Mm-hmm. We are in the Grand Cru Bordeaux glasses, so that's very important to know. Why? Because we can. On the nose.
It's appropriate for this product.
There is a underbrush of pine mixed with red raspberry.
Yes, kind of a jammy raspberry.
Like a holly thistle, kind of like a wreath. Evergreen. Evergreen wreath. And very Christmassy. Maybe a little bit of poinsettia or poinsettia. Maybe just an element of tobacco.
I was going to go tar.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, just way back in there. At first, my first impression of this nose was extreme jamminess. But I think
I
need to work the glass a little bit. This honestly, Grand Cru glass may be a little big for this.
Maybe. Honestly, I think that it's a little more evergreen. There is a little bit of that, bay leaf. Parker mentions that. I do smell that, but.
It's kind of like all muddled in that little green stuff in there. And I think
the herbalness.
Pick out what you want from the herbalness. All in all, it's a rather subtle nose, but nice. And for me, what makes it is that tar tobacco thing in the background there.
Well, overall, the herbal, you know, natural elements to it give it a little more of a dimension beyond, you know, it's almost like black currant and soda pop. And there's dimension there. It smells a little more mature and a little more grown up for a wine. So let's go ahead.
You know, I was, my mind, as soon as it hit my palate, my mind went to Dave Ramey's comment, that's a luncheon Cabernet. And when it hit my palate, that came to mind because I don't know what a luncheon Cabernet is supposed to be, but it comes to mind when I drink this. It makes sense.
I don't think so. I think that this wine now, because first of all, they're intending this to be drank earlier on, right?
Well, somebody said 10 years, but I don't think Ramey intends that.
You could do that, but that's not what they're thinking. This, when it gets a little more age to it, it tastes more Bordeaux. The fruits tend to, they gripping up a little bit, lean out, just and they get longer. This wine has elegant length. It really does. It doesn't have a huge front palate. It's just spread out. That's from the age.
It's quite nice. Elegant's a good term. I think a couple of the reviews talked about medium to full bodied. It's definitely in the medium range.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't call it full. It's headed towards full. But, you know, if you want that big, burly body, this isn't the guy for you here.
I don't know.
This one... she's a drinker, though.
She's a drinker.
I like the fruit, even though, as you said, it's not really a fruit-forward wine. No. There's a bunch of different things in there that it kind of transitions from the front palate to the mid palate. You can pick out like the currant plum thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's that berry presence, and it's just got a wonderful kiss of that cassis.
But it's all very nicely done, and it has a... well, a nice sheen to it. It has a urethral kind of experience across it. What's the term I normally use? It is, I don't even know. But it's racy in the fact that it's sleek. You know, it has a sleekness that runs across it. It doesn't taste stylized.
No.
But there also is a lovely backstrap of minerality that just kind of sprinkles throughout. And the wine is not overtly oaky.
No.
The oakiness is there, but it's so well integrated into the wine that you don't even notice it. It's just an element to everything else. It provides length, structure, and maybe a little bit of nuance, especially as the mid palate goes on and accentuates that minerality, brings forth a little bit of tobacco and whatnot. But it isn't something that stands out at all. The wine is a very well integrated, beautifully done thing. Now, is it like that? Do they intend it to be like that? I don't know. But that's the way it becomes after a certain period of time.
I would like to think that's what Remy wants to do with this. Particularly, you talked about the oaking. I think they know who they are. I think they know what this wine is. Mm-hmm. And if you put more oak to this, I don't think it has a tannic structure for more oak, for bigger oak, for different oak than the way this is done. The oak to the tannin is just so well integrated. This is 16, right? So this was probably current vintage, what, 4 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, I think it was released in like 19,
Yeah, so, I would say this probably has, you know, maybe a couple more years. But
3-4 years.
10?
Well, that 10 total.
Yeah.
That review, though, 10 total. So from, say, 19 when they're reviewing it to 2029. Maybe.
That's a stretch.
I'd say 2026 is about where I do it. I mean, is it still going to be drinkable after that? Yeah, but that's not really where you want it. This is a good window right now for it. You know, this, the what Scott's referring to is the drinking window for prime drinking.
Yes.
Is right now to another year or two.
I really.
This is the sweet spot for the wine.
You pulled this out at the right time.
Yeah.
It's just tasty. It's just the finish. There's this little aftertaste. Sounds like a bad thing. What I'm talking about here is not a bad thing. It's just got this yummy kind of grapiness. It's like your finish goes away and there's this thing that's there and you just want to go and chew on it. And it's delicious.
It has a kind of it's not a flavor as much as it is a feel. It's just like the glycerin element of a grape skin that is just kind of just the pop of that little element that's so nice in like a red grape.
Mm-hmm.
It still is there, and you're like, it does do that.
Except instead of that pop from the grape when you first put it in your mouth, this is the lingering after effects. It's nice too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, usually aftertastes that linger aren't a good thing with a wine.
Depends on what it is, God. I just tell you that right now.
Well, I'll bet you would tell me that right now, Wilfred. I'll
tell you that later, now?
No.
In the past?
No.
2 weeks from now? Over the phone? Email? I'll even fax it to you.
Fax. Just the facts.
You don't want to know the facts.
Remy Claret. I want to know the facts about Remy Claret.
The facts about Remy Claret is this: once you've let it age and you treat it properly, maybe the North Coast is a luncheon wine. This wine is a wine that you wouldn't waste with food. This is a wine that you set off by itself. There are some of those wines where you're like, well, what would I eat with this? I wouldn't. I would want to drink this by itself. I would want a fire going this time of year. And just sit back and just reflect when I'm drinking this wine.
I mean, you just want nachi food with this. It'd be like, I don't know, you've got a roasted chicken, but it's like leftover, so you can like tear little strips of it off as you're consuming this. Almost like you'd throw peanuts in your mouth, just a little strip of roasted chicken.
Okay.
I'm just saying. It'd be delicious with the fat on it. Ooh, yeah. And that would be good with this.
For dinner,
chicken skin fat.
For dinner, I did kind of a different take on a chicken pot pie. I went and I bought 2 packages of chicken thighs, right? And cooked them down, pulled them off, onion in the pot, deglazed with chicken broth. Let the chicken rest, then chopped it up, added corn. Oh, added potatoes, corn, celery, peas, carrots, green beans. Actually, it was a cheat. It was a mixed vegetable can. That didn't matter.
Oh, Lord.
It's nice.
Sound like you're doing work. You open a can. Yeah. Henry opened the can for you.
Well, the chicken. So then added the chicken back in, brimmed it up with the broth. You remember that spice you bought me?
Mm-hmm.
I seasoned the chicken with that, too, by the way.
It's so nice.
Oh, yeah. And then just let it simmer for about an hour and a half. And then I thickened it with a little bit of, you know, a little roux, you know. I thickened the stock to almost like a really hearty stew. Into the Lacoisette. And then I made Bisquick biscuits.
Okay.
Right? Well, gluten-free. And that was the topping. Baked it off for about 25 minutes at 400. So you had the baked. You had the biscuit topping, then the really, really thick, rich chicken broth, chicken thigh, veggie infused. Yeah.
Let me guess. Probably some of the best part of it was where the liquid would bubble up between the biscuit chunks.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And coat it and kind of get a little crusty.
Yeah. It was nice. And Henry goes, can you just sometimes, he goes, I don't really like biscuits. Can you just make that like as a stew? I went, Yeah, I can thicken a stew. I mean, if you want
to
go.
The way to fix that, lad, would be for have a separate pot where you top it with puff pastry.
I didn't have puff pastry. But they don't like that either. I've done that. I've done the
puff
same.
Puff pastry doesn't like puff pastry.
I've done the same thing. I did. I did it gluten free. I made the puff pastry.
It was a Jamie Oliver dish I used to make. It the chicken thighs, lemon, but leeks.
Oh yeah, that's lovely.
You know, essentially you're braising the chicken thighs in the leeks. And it's a French-style dish where you cover it with wax paper as you're cooking it down.
Yeah.
A couple holes in the top, and then you just finish it with the puff pastry.
Absolutely.
Delicious.
Oh, no, that's lovely.
Speaking of delicious, let's clear it.
Oh. This is just exactly what you want. You want something that's not austere. But it's very urethral and it's very focused. It's long. It's intricate.
Listen, Wilfred's,
it's interesting.
Wilfred's gone now, so you don't have to talk about his urethra.
He was saying it's long. Well, you know why? I have a long urethra, but I have a very small penis. It's unusual.
You're unusual, that's for sure.
I am a medical malformity, is what they said. Actually, the nurse just screamed and ran out of the room.
Well...
It was actually, she was actually a dental hygienist, so I shouldn't have done what I did.
Whatever. You know the difference between a nurse and a dental hygienist.
I don't, actually. Well, but one's in a dentist's office, they told me.
So why were you doing that in a dentist's office?
I don't know, Scott. I'm unusual.
Abhorrent.
Potato, potato.
Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break.
Deviant.
Once again, potato, potato.
But be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, on the Potpourri tonight, we have our gift exchange. Then we're going to talk about the eligible wines for our wine of the year. So, Scott, right there in the silver bag, if you would like to, that's a gift from me. Something unusual I know that you can't normally get. And so I thought you would enjoy it.
Oh,
turn around.
Kirkland's Brunello di Montalcino.
They don't have very much of that.
91 of...
Well, ignoring that.
James Suckling.
I know, there was that. But it's the Brunello. You have the Barolo.
Correct.
And it's not exactly cheap for Kirkland. So, you know, I thought you might like that
one.
Well,
and I wonder, what's the aging capability of this?
Mm-hmm. I think the producer's in the front there. Crossed it. I think it might be one that you have.
Gianni Macari, M-A-C-C-A-R-I.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure. I went through a Barolo purchasing spiel.
Mm-hmm.
Macari does sound familiar.
I think you have something from Macari.
I look forward to this.
I thought you'd like that. You can't buy it. You can't get that.
I look forward to this. Now.
Mm-hmm.
For you, this is also for the Triple B.
Okay.
It's something you wrap in paper. No, it's not from a dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
But it's from a place you like to go.
It's soft.
Well.
Oh. Is this from
Macellaria?
Oh my! Thank you. Oh. Very nice. I know what to do with those.
Once you've got a ribeye and you've got a New York strip steak.
Pound and a half ribeye?
Well, that's what they had in the case.
Wow, very nice. Thank you.
Buddy, it's what they had in the case.
Beautiful. I appreciate that. That'll be ooh. I'm sure I can find a night to make that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Very nice.
The Derns have a standing date on Friday nights, and more often than not, Rob's at the grill.
I am. It's been weather permitting, but then again, now all of the grills are moved in the garage. All three.
Weather's never stopped you before.
That's true. I know it'd be like 20 degrees. I'll be sending pictures to Scott.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? I'm grilling. Just depends. I did all those beef ribs. At Costco, they had beef ribs. Like, they were well trimmed. They were trimmed down heavily.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just did them like you do baby back ribs in the smoker. And it was great.
They turned out well.
Oh, yeah. Then this morning, the leftovers, I carved it off and made a hash out of it.
I love doing that.
The onion, that, and then I just did that. And then on Becky, I did egg over easy.
Yeah.
Crack the yolk.
Just get some crispy bits going. And
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, and you don't have to go with potato in a hash. You can just do veg. And
yep.
But it's nice to have something that you can get crisp.
Mm-hmm.
You just want something for that texture. That mm-hmm. I don't think hash is a hash unless you get that texture.
Yeah.
Like even that can garbage that some people love, you've got to fry the shit out of that so it gets crispy.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds delish.
I know. Well, thank you very much for that. Especially that pound and a halfer. It's really good.
It's a beautiful looking steak.
Mm-hmm. So, folks, here are the wines that are eligible. And some of them, I mean, there'll be some snickering, some jeering on some of them. But rightfully so. But still, they are eligible. Let's just say that. They're the one, and some of these wines are, they didn't even get the highest scores. They were just the better surprises, right?
Okay.
So starting off, and it was this year, I double checked, Kirkland, their Bordeaux Superior. We've drank a lot of that over the year. $7.99, great wine. No, it was $6.99, for Christ's sake, $6.99. Hopefully that'll be released next month. So Kirkland Bordeaux Superior. Are you writing these down?
Yeah.
Good. The next one. And I remember us drinking this, and we just said it's Thanksgiving dinner, and you can buy it everywhere. It's extremely common, and we got good scores. KJ, their Vintage Reserve Cabernet. That's another one. Next, and you can kind of see the trend I'm doing. So we're doing cheap. Marietta Cellars, they do have an entry, and it's the Old Vine Red, the Lot 73. We really liked that wine. That got great scores. And it was cheap. That's one. Then we move. Now we're moving up the line. The Stag's Leap, Hands of Time. That's one. It's not on the list, but I'm going to add it. The Nyers Left Bank Red. Although it's a little expensive. It's $50, but the Nyers Left Bank Red. Then, the Carlisle Winery, Radiant Ridge Vineyard, Mavedre.
Winner.
Then, the Turley Casa Nuestra Red Wine. I know. Then, the Bodegas Buza Pande, or no, was it Dande? Azacar Tannet.
Where is it? It's up there.
So the Bodegas Buza. It's from Uruguay. So those are the eligible wines. The best of the best that we drank last year, really. You know? Anything else you can think of that we should add to that list? I mean, there's some of the whites, but, you know.
That, the other bottle of Carlisle, too.
The white.
The Zin.
The Zin has not aired.
How dare you?
It hasn't aired.
How dare you?
I'm just saying. unless it got put up for like a Wednesday episode, and I'm not saying it will or won't. I know you want it to, but maybe not.
Well, I mean, it's in discussions of the wine of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be.
Maybe I'll put it up for a Wednesday episode. Maybe I'll get a couple Wednesday episodes. We'll see how this week it goes, folks.
It is trying times here at the Wine Vault, the decisions to make about wine of the year. I just think.
Winery of the year. I mean, I think Carlisle from Winery of the Year, that doesn't have to be things that we've actually aired on the show yet. It can be things that we've had on the show we haven't aired. Carlisle, for me right now, I think is the one I would probably go with. Carlisle's great.
I think simply because we just, what, we've done three, even if the
four.
One hadn't
four.
Aired.
Two whites, two reds.
New to the show, new to the series, new to us, really. I mean, maybe you'd had Carlisle previously.
I don't know.
And it's just fantastic.
Oh, it's great.
For us, mail order, we might be able to find it somewhere. You're not going to find it in a grocery.
Mm-mm.
Fine wine purveyors. I was in Chicagoland last month. Went to Binney's Beer and Wine Depot. They didn't have any Carlisle. They had some Turley.
No.
They had some Turley. Mm-hmm. Only because near the release, but... folks, we've talked about mail order for wine, and they're a fantastic producer. You can't go wrong with anything we've gone across the different product lines they offer, and they're all just freaking amazing.
Just wanted to also mention, folks, I did happen to score a couple different things that are in the Wine Spectator Top 100 for the show, and one of them is in the 20s, and it's Babbage Black Label Sauvignon Blanc from Marlboro. We might get the Triple B on for that show,
okay,
because it's $14.99, and it got a 93 from the Wine Spectator. Yeah.
And she loves some Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah, and so it was available on wine.com for literally 35 seconds. So if you wanted some, hey, you didn't get any.
Dang it.
But I did. But just one bottle for the show because I'm not that interested in it. But still, maybe we'll do it back to back with. Because we also have Kim Crawford right there. So we'll probably do them back to back. You know, just to mock Kim Crawford. Especially if Triple B's on the show, I could threaten her. And even do Love Block at the same time.
That's a lot of.
It's a lot of Sauvignon Blanc.
It's a lot of Sauvignon Blanc.
You know.
What about the. Was it this year or has a year gone by where we did the Muriat as well?
That was last year.
That was last season.
We'll throw it on there. I'm not going to vote for it, but yeah, we...
Love that.
We liked... I mean, we liked... It was one of those wines that it was... I guess, I mean, I put KJ in there. I don't know. It was good, but are you going to buy it again?
Raise his hand.
Oh, did you buy it again?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Should buy KJ. I don't know why we don't. I mean, I know it's so common, but have we ever had KJ Vintners Reserve Cabernet and not liked it? No. We've always liked it every single time. Not as much as we like something like this, but we've always liked it. It's just stupid. You know?
Are we being snobbish that we don't buy it?
Mm-hmm.
But I know...
A lot of people are being snobbish.
Let's say you're on vacation and you're just going to buy wine for the week. Or let's say you're on a 10-day trip.
Yeah.
That's something to always consider.
Because
it's a good price point and it's good quality for what you're going to spend. I don't know. Why not?
Especially if you have some asshole that comes over, like one of these guys that writes letters to Dr. Vinny. And if you just sneak it in there, he wouldn't know. Especially if it's the second bottle. He'd be like, oh, this is very nice. You know. Yeah. Is this Heights? No.
No, it's not.
It's not? Is this Cayman's? No, that's not. Yeah, oh. Is this Scarecrow? No. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not. Is this Joseph Phelps' insignia? It's not. Is it? I know. I know. Is it Dominus? No. I'm sorry, it's not. What? It's not Opus 1, is it? Now I would feel silly if I couldn't guess that. No. What? Is this B.V. George Latour? No. Oh. Nickel and... No.
No.
No, it's a lot better than nickel and nickel. Oh, okay. Is this Farniente's post and beam? No. It's KJ. Dick Watt. I'm not saying it's better than those, but, you know, it's tasty in its own little way. So those are some ideas. Those are the things that we're thinking of for the wine of the year. Scott, here's a question. What do you intend? Because always Christmas Eve, I drink something exceptional. What do you intend on drinking Christmas Eve?
That's a good question. We've got a little event at the house. Craft making for kids. Princess has it in her head that we're going to take the kids around the neighborhood and Christmas carol. No? She's serious. If she knew you were laughing at her, you'd be in trouble.
Jesus Christ. Nobody wants that.
Well, she's calling neighbors and a couple have committed to it. let's see how it goes.
Uh-huh.
She's like, when are we going to practice singing? Why do we need to practice? What songs are we going to sing? Well, Frosty the Snowman. What else? Well, no, just that. It's going to take people longer to come to the front door than it takes to sing Frosty the Snowman. So, no.
Here we come a-wassailing. That's a classic one. All the kids know that one.
We'll see. You know, it's something to get started. And
Grandma got run over by a reindeer. I caught Mommy blowing Santa Claus.
Oh, that's not Lord.
What is that?
Oh, Lord.
I caught Mommy. No, sorry. I caught Wilfred filleting Santa Claus.
With Duke's mayonnaise all over his face.
Then I... He's just so...
Jesus
Wilfred.
Christ.
No. No. Yeah. Actually, Wilfred likes to wear Santa costumes. Watch out for any random Santa in the San Francisco area. It could be Wilfred, and you don't know what he might do.
I know what I might do. That's an inn. They're like, oh, it's Santa. Can I have a picture with you? Yeah, you can. Let's go in this back alley.
I'll probably pull out a special bottle of Turley. Just one of the ones that have been set back for a while. I'm just saying. I don't have anything necessarily in mind.
Predictable.
Well, but it's also I've got some that are ready. So we'll see.
So do I.
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far yet.
Mm.
Too much gift purchasing and delivering to do. Mm-hmm. Keeping it simple.
I might, and it was actually the second place for what I was going to drink tonight. I didn't think you'd like this, though. A Duckhorn Three Palms Vineyard Merlot. I didn't think you'd like that.
That'll be for Christmas. Christmas Eve.
Slightly world class, but, you know, I don't think you'd like
it. Speaking of world class, you know, we had a championship here in Columbus recently.
Oh, yeah.
Rob was unfortunately ill and didn't get to go to the game because
fucking
of the vid.
COVID.
But I'm sure you enjoyed the game at home quite well.
Actually, what happened? We had tickets. And so I said to Becky, take Henry. So she took him.
This is after the diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. The children, my other three children. So I was home literally because Henry had a basketball game. Then they went to that. So I was home as a supervisor of three other children from 1 o'clock until 9 o'clock with COVID. How do you do that, you might say? You don't. You have an 8-year-old that has to do a lot more than an 8-year-old should have to do. And you wear a mask, but that's okay. So for the game,
and in all transparency, Robert had the antiviral in his system for
But that doesn't protect other people.
But it knocks down the volume of virus that's in your system.
It does, and I was but I was wearing one of the K95 masks. So, and I told William and Luke, this is what I have, and they're like, "Oh, you're gonna die." I said, "Would you like to order have pizza delivered?" I said, "I don't think I should probably cook for you." And they go, "That's a great idea. Good job, Dad." So I ordered pizza, and it was one of those things where it was they just left on the doorstep. They have that option, Christie's Pizza,
okay,
local place.
It's probably where it should be left.
It probably should. And so I ordered a couple of William his own gluten free pizza, which he loves. Then I ordered Luke and Maggie a large pie cut cheese pizza, which they love, and I took a piece of that myself, and I had ordered myself an Italian sub.
Okay.
And I got Becky a antipasto salad that I just put in the fridge in case she needed something to eat, and she ate that when she got home. And so I stayed downstairs in the family room, and they stayed upstairs in the playroom, and they were playing PlayStation, whatever. And I watched the game downstairs, and they watched it up, and they did their own thing upstairs. Yeah. So it worked out. Nobody else got COVID, although, truth be told, Henry did have a faint line for literally 7 hours. And then he had no more line. No symptoms. It was weird. He's Henry. He's made of different materials.
Titanium.
And he has a recent updated booster. See, that's the thing. I said to Becky, when can we get a booster? I think any time. Okay. So I didn't have mine. So, and I didn't have an immune system from my other illnesses. But I think my next doctor's appointment's in February, so I think I'll get a booster then when I'm there, right? That'd be a good enough time, right, then?
What are you concerned about, the amount of time after you've had the vid?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think there's so much guidance change with the COVID.
I didn't know.
It's drastically different.
I didn't know that with, what is it called, Paxlovid, is that what it was?
The antiviral therapy.
Yeah. Apparently, it's a bit of a coin toss because some people take it, they're perfectly fine, it works. Other people take it and they get violently ill and they just vomit constantly.
I haven't heard that side of it.
I did not know that either, but that's fairly common. And luckily, it just really, really worked for me.
Yeah, so, you said you hadn't felt better in weeks.
Well, it knocked down the other virus, too. And I had two viruses going at the same time, and it just said, fuck you both.
We had a bit of a gathering and a little crew championship celebration, and Hot Carl, God bless him, blessed us. He brought over his, he's got a couple bottles of the Sam Adams Utopias.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. $270 for a pot still style. I think it's about 750 mls, maybe. It's freaking fantastic. Cherry profile, like 28%. Drinks like a, between a port and a brandy almost. But it's not as thick. It's not as syrupy.
Hey.
It was freaking fantastic.
It's a worthwhile celebration.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to bring over to the, it was just a gathering at Lamont's, little fire pit. It was warm enough outside. It wasn't warm, but with fire it was warm enough. Princess joined.
We're good.
First outing with the boys. But I was going to bring, I've got, I don't know how many years, verticals of the Trader Joe's seasonal Christmas ale that you're supposed to age it. And I said, I'm going to bring that. And Hot Carl said, I'm going to bring Utopia. So I'm like, yeah, I'll leave the Trader Joe's verticals at home for another occasion.
Look what I got.
Yeah, just nothing.
No. Sit down.
Yeah.
Well, your ass down.
I didn't even get out of my seat.
No, you're like,
I just, okay. Yeah, sure.
I got some fuzzy winkle from
Christmas ale.
I got the mixed pack. How about you?
Yeah.
Sit down.
Yeah.
I remember I bought that, and Becky tasted the fuzzy winkle. She goes, "What is that exactly supposed to be?" I went, "It's a product that they made and they sold to people."
I like the fuzzy winkle.
You're a fucking nutball.
I also love the, they had a white chocolate stout in that pack.
You probably like peeing in your own mouth.
No, the same as all those were good products.
No, they're not. They're not, actually. The Fuzzy Winkle is the equivalent of peeing in your own mouth.
Oh, my Lord. You're such a baby.
Just open up. Ah.
Open your
mind. It's almost like a fair comp. It's almost like a fair contest. If you ever think about that, if you go to a festival, if you want to really have a cheap booth, it's like when you're trying to shoot that gun, like the water pistol into something, you can just say, hey, for my booth, you have to be able to pee in your own mouth. First of all, none of the women could do it. It's not about being sexist. They can't do it. And second of all, the men, I mean, you know, you can make the prize high, but the entry fee higher. And
I was single a long time. You don't know some of the women I went out with.
I thought you meant you've been single a long time. You don't know what you did to amuse yourself, but that's okay, too. But yeah, you're like, hey, you get a stuffed bear if you can pee in your own mouth there, Butch. And so we'll see what he can do. Why do I have a visual of that? There you go, Scott. You're trembling.
It's a little bit. It's of not a that reach. Heavy. I'm trying to not spill it.
So effortful for you to do something so basic. Anyway, folks.
Lefty.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the 2016 Ramey Claret from Napa Valley, the last vintage from Napa Valley, till they went off to the dreaded North Coast, as Scott would say.
I need to be a little less snobbish about the North Coast.
Yes, you do. But you are a snob. I need
to open my mind about it. But what's your opinion of the North Coast, Mr. Dern?
It's a mixed bag.
That's probably kind, but probably accurate.
Okay, well, you've got to look. What winery is using the term? Ramey?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll probably try their North Coast.
If it's Josh Sellers, no.
I think in the overall realm of producers from North Coast, Josh would be one of the ones I'd be more likely to trust than most
we
of the others.
We had that.
I realize it. I'm just saying.
I think we gave it 10 points.
This would be one of the combined ones. Josh, a product from Josh and North Coast, I'd be more likely to try than most of
Josh
the others.
Wines can suck a big dick.
I'm not a fan of
big
North
hairy
Coast.
Dick. No. You know, by the way, folks, this probably won't air because when I was still sick, although yeah, I'm not well yet, but I was really sick, and we tried to do it, and then it just didn't work. Prisoners Unshackled Wines.
He's sick. Why did I have to be punished?
That was
to make
the
meal?
Most reprehensible thing I've had in 5 years. I gave it 74 of my points. Folks, no matter what you do, if it's between that and... And going to that fair that Wilford was talking about earlier and trying to win that teddy bear. Try to win the teddy bear. Don't drink Unshackled.
That and a bubbling pool of pussy water by the side of the road. Go with a bubbling pool of pussy water.
Well, don't,
by the
well
side
I
of
mean,
the road.
Unshackled did have that, you don't know about that. They had a jingle. It was Unshackled, just drink your own piss. That was it.
That voice, it sounds familiar.
It was me, Wilfred, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're quite making the rounds.
I make a living, Scott.
It's amazing. How's your friend Mr. Santos doing?
Man, hey, there is a picture circulating, folks, of Scott and George Santos. It must have been from like a sci-fi conference.
Or it must have been from like your architecture.
Can I just point this out? I did send it to a lot of different people.
I'll bet you did.
And not everybody is smart enough to realize it's Photoshop.
Nuh-uh. Yeah. No way.
I swear to God.
Who? Tell me who you sent that
to. That's not important.
No, it's very important.
No, because it makes them really dumb.
Who?
And they know that I Photoshop. And it wasn't even a good Photoshop, but still, it was still.
Who was it? Names. Just because they're a listener doesn't mean they shouldn't be named.
It doesn't matter,
names.
Scott.
Nope, name the names.
I'm not going to name the names.
I'm going to name the name and you're going to say yes or no.
No, I'm going to say no to everybody.
Yeah, you're so good at that.
You had your hand on George Santos's ass. Yeah. You know. Did you see that there was a scandal where there was a Senate staffer that was having sex with another dude in one of the hearing rooms in the Senate, and he got fired, and he was claiming that it was politically biased, and even George Santos was like, "You were fucking some guy in a fucking hearing. You're fucking somebody in your place of work." You know, it's like, really, dude? Why would you think it's politically motivated? No, it's the fact that you were fucking somebody in the
you weren't doing your job.
No, you really weren't doing
your
job.
If you have time to, while you're working, have sex with another person, you're probably not doing your job.
You're really not.
You know, and if that is your job, then we've got other questions to ask.
I mean, was the other person not a staffer? Because they didn't get named or fired. So where did this other person come from?
It's the other part of it. It's probably an underling. It's probably, we don't want it, probably a power thing there, too.
It's probably George Santos. Don't name me.
Yeah. So it was a political thing.
George Santos did seem a little bitter in his tweet.
Do you think?
Yeah. It's like, what's wrong there, George?
It's going to be luck if he doesn't end up.
He's like, that went on in fucking hearing rooms? I wasn't there for that. I didn't see that.
Was it bitter or was it jealous?
George, they didn't invite you. Okay. I'm just saying. You know. You, not you. No. You weren't getting invited to that kind of party.
No. Doesn't he have enough problems that you're going to mock him and he's saying he can't get a date?
He's married.
Like I said. Yeah. Dude, doesn't even have problems that you're going to mock him and he can get a date.
I can do whatever I want. So, Scott, the Raimi. What is your score?
90 of my points. I was between a 90-91. 90's fair. It's fantastic. I like it. I think sometimes we're afraid to say that a more expensive wine isn't a good wine if we just give it a 90. I think we need to be more realistic than that. 90 is a great score, regardless of how much you pay for something. It's just, why isn't this higher?
You're dumb.
Because it just doesn't have that next elevated thing. Why is it 90? Because what it is, it does really, really, really well, and that is emulate and demonstrate characteristics of these same grapes but being produced in Bordeaux. The style of the delivery of is why this wine's a 90. But for the passive red wine drinker who's not into Bordeaux as much as we are, I'm not sure they're going to drink this and go, it's really good.
That's what Unshackled's for.
I think people will notice the difference between this and Unshackled. But I'm
not after 7 cartons of cigarettes.
Then they would really appreciate it.
And pissing in your own mouth.
But that's where I'm at. It just doesn't have that je ne sais quoi to take it up higher to, let's say, 92, something like that. But I like it. I would buy and try the North Coast again.
But feel sad that it's no longer the Napa.
Yeah.
But it might be better.
I'm sure it's going to be different, but it might be equally as good. And if it is, then shoot, that's something to get a bottle of every vintage, every other vintage, somewhere in there. But Raimi's, but quite frankly, I prefer the cab to this claret for Raimi.
And for me, this wine is one of the better emulations of Bordeaux, but not just Bordeaux. Good Bordeaux. I'm not talking about Chateau Sebelius or, you know, some sort of dumbass, you know, satellite Bordeaux offering or some sort of knockoff, you know, Jordache version of Bordeaux that we have all the fucking time. I'm talking about high quality, well done Bordeaux. This wine does that. It's sleek, it's elegant, it has length, it's interesting, it's pleasing. Scott doesn't think everybody would get down with this. I think that people should get down with this. It doesn't have this big, juicy, fruit-forward front palate. But you know what? Fuck you. If you, that's what you're looking for. You know what? Go eat a fucking bowl of fruit then, fuckers. I think this wine does have je ne sais quoi. I think this wine, maybe 4 years ago, might not have. I think 4 years ago, it might have been just a bit of a mishmash and this and that. But given the amount of time and the aging of it, it has je ne sais quoi. It has it. It has quoi. I actually am giving this wine 92 of my points. I think this wine is wonderful. I would drink this every day, all day. It's as good as any other one of the California Bordeaux blends we've had. I enjoy it that much. I especially the mid palate. I can just sit there and just let it sit and steep in my mouth and just enjoy the fuck out of it.
Yeah, the mid palate's the star of the show.
And also, this wine really does speak to me. It's not showy. It's not ostentatious. It's just pure and clean. And it's made by a producer that just is really good at what they do. I know that. It's just all quality. I mean, the Trésor by Ferry Carano is all quality. We can just taste that there. the Stag's Leap, Hands of Time, it's just all quality. These wines are just all quality. It's so exciting that these things are out there. Now, this is way more expensive than the Hands of Time, so you'd always probably go with the Hands of Time, right? But the quality is just so much there. And the thing is, we complain about, you know, well, Napa Cabernets now. Anything that's good is 70, 80, 90 bucks, yeah. But the Bordeaux blends aren't. Blends are reasonable. They're under 50, and this one is. And you can buy them there. So buy that. Now, you're not going to age it for 10 years, but it's really, 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 really good. And you know what? It doesn't taste like Napa Cab. That's the beauty part of it.
Well, and so, so if you want Napa Cab, you better buy a Napa Cab. If you want something that's a little different, then try the Napa Cab based Bordeaux blends. Little different price points, but fantastic. And
this is my favorite kind of wine, though.
This wine is
my favorite flavors. It's one of my favorite things.
It just is. Mm-hmm. You know, and we can talk all day about Bordeaux versus Rhone versus blah, 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 blah. But this style, and we've been on quite a journey, about a half dozen of these California Bordeaux
easily,
blends.
Maybe more than that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a fun journey.
And good stuff.
Oh, really good stuff. This has been the year of the California Bordeaux blend.
And not
a bad season, you know?
Things that you just should drink, folks. If you like red wines, mm-hmm. The Hands of Time,
the Left Bank Red.
The Left Bank Red. What was the thing? Kind of sort of got it kicked off, even though it's not as traditional. What's the one? Harriet and.
Oh, yeah. Harriet and Harvey.
Harriet and Harvey.
Yes.
Which was a little. That one's not.
It's Paso.
But it's Paso.
It's a little more Syrah. That's a wine we're going to have on the show. But I almost pulled that out as opposed to this.
We kind of started our journey down that path and got us thinking about that, I think. I think that's where we got started with it.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, it's been a good ride this year with doing those. And
my favorite neighbor, Harriet. And
my
Harvey.
Favorite neighbor is what it is.
My favorite neighbor for Paso, that is the creme de la creme.
And just, but again, it's a red wine blend,
mm-hmm.
French varietals. ish on that.
Everything
one, I think.
That technically is a French varietal, name something well, isn't.
But you know what I'm
Tempranillo
saying.
Tempranillo isn't,
I suppose. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Finding more of these.
Bravo.
Doing them.
Ramey, bravo. This wine, Triumph, it, fuck you with your lunch and wine. I don't want your olive loaf. I want this. So.
I honestly.
This would go actually well with olive loaf.
Don't but. Have an issue with his description.
I know.
I it really, you know.
But it's a little pretentious when you have a $50 bottle of wine. You're saying this is what you would glug at lunch.
Glug.
No, you would glug. We have had wines that you've had glug at lunch, like the Austrian Zweigets.
Yeah.
Those are luncheon wines. Anything like the Austrian German Pinots and those kind of things.
But
those are really good banquet wines that are good for glugging because they're also low alcohol. This is not.
No, it's not low alcohol.
No, but it
fits the profile of what, if I'm going to start early, I would want something lighter like this. Not that this is light. This is medium body, but it's a proper red wine. It's not going to be too heavy for you.
I think this wine could steal the show. In a wine dinner, you put this against a lot of different things. Aged properly, like this one is, this could steal the show.
Yeah, you're having a brunch, and you're going to pull out a bottle or two bottles at the end of brunch. Food's gone. You're just having a bottle of red wine. Everybody's sitting around talking.
I wouldn't do that with this.
Some people are having coffee. Boom! I'd love this. I think it'd be perfect.
Yeah, but this wine's too good for that, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it too good? No, you want to have something nice. You're classy.
Well, you can do something in the 20s that are classy.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that with this. Nevertheless, though,
his
folks.
Friends aren't good enough for this.
No, they aren't. So, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault, and Merry Christmas.